I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date, whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast at SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated, Madison Firefighters, Local 311, and Madison Teamsters, Local 695. Joining us now with MASH from Milwaukee, it's Peter Rickman, the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers. Thanks for coming on, Peter.
Thanks for having me on, Sly. It's great to be with you, as always.
All right, well, let's cut to the chase. What is going on in Milwaukee with this convention coming up next year with the Milwaukee Arena and the Milwaukee Convention Center?
Well, I think most of your listeners know, Sly, that Milwaukee has secured the Democratic National Convention for 2020. It's a great victory for our city, for our state. It reflects, I think, a lot of the good that's been happening here and the desire of the Democratic Party to reflect its interest in representing working people. And I think some of your listeners may also know that the Democratic National Committee leadership has specifically cited in its reasons for choosing Milwaukee the positive and unique model for labor relations in the new arena. Just in the past few months, about 1,200 workers have won union representation and are either bargaining contracts or have already won a first union contract. And it's been done without employer interference. It's been done without the typical shenanigans we see from bosses trying to keep workers from having a voice in a union. And it's been done with a majority sign-up process, or a real democracy where workers get to choose to have unions. Not surprisingly, Sly, when workers have a free and fair choice to organize a union, they take that chance and run with it. So we've had a really, you know, kind of incredible breakthrough with the Fiserv Forum as a site of organizing of service sector workers, the 21st century working class jobs like janitors and cooks, sort of typify the service sector economy we live in now. And if we can make the arena a model for every other kind of service sector job like these around Milwaukee or around Wisconsin, around the country, I think we'd live in a really different economy. So good on the DNC for choosing Milwaukee. Unfortunately, across the street from the arena, the convention center has opted to go with a non-union security company. And it's sort of a study in contrast just across the street.
So to be clear, this is the convention center. Is it also the Miller High Life Theater and the UWM Panther Arena? Is it all of them?
Yeah, you're correct. It's sort of, you need a program to keep track of the players here, but there's a collection of entertainment and convention venues downtown Milwaukee that are all under the umbrella of the Wisconsin Center District. And actually, the new arena is technically part of that, too, but they operate separately. The Wisconsin Center District, that's a taxpayer-financed, taxpayer-owned quasi-governmental entity that operates our convention center. And one I might add that is looking for more taxpayer subsidies to expand, and not to expand for the benefit of the average Joe or Jane on the street, working people of Milwaukee, but for the benefit of the hospitality and tourism bosses here in Milwaukee. They have opted to go with a non-union security contractor. And it's, you know, doubly unfortunate, not only that they're working with scab contractors that pay less than living wages, that don't treat people with dignity and respect, but they're doing it just a week or so after workers at the arena, 200 security officers, had just won union recognition and very proudly said that they're fighting for a union, even though they're paid decently already, even though they actually have benefits on the job. They're saying that they want a union because they know that with a voice on the job, they'll be treated more like a human being, more with more dignity and respect. And so with the center district going with a non-union security contractor, yeah, it's just a slap in the face, not only to the people who've worked to make downtown Milwaukee a different kind of place for service sector workers, but the very people who will be charged with the task of keeping secure the convention. And I think, you know, Sly, most of your listeners probably recognize here that when we're talking about the Democratic National Convention coming to town and a party that still speaks of its positive relationship with unions and organized labor, having a non-union security contractor just on its face, you know, contradicts pretty strongly the self-professed values of the Democratic Party. And we're going to end up in a situation here where if there's a strike, picket line, boycotts, do not patronize orders for the convention center while this convention, the Democratic Party convention, comes to town, it could be utter chaos and disruption, and it's going to be what projects a negative image of Milwaukee instead of the positive image we should have here. So it's a very poor choice, set of choices made thus far by the so-called leaders of the Wisconsin Center District. Not surprisingly, it's corporate bosses and their lackeys who've been the ones calling the shots so far. I'm sorry.
No, they were warned this was going to be a problem if they did this, right?
Yeah, you know, we try to do things in a way that the boss class can understand. So we approach people involved in the Democratic Convention, and we approach folks involved in the Center District. We approach members of the Board of Directors who are fair and decent-minded, good champions of working people, and said, look, this is going to be a problem. We want to work this out with you in advance so that this doesn't turn into an adversarial contested fight. Unfortunately, the top management of the Center District, their CEO and the folks who are the representatives of the business class here in Milwaukee, listen to their, you know, silk stocking lawyer from Michael Best and Frederick, the union buster, who said, oh, no, well, let's push forward with this non-union contractor. And I do want to say that in a time when there's these vestiges of a different era of governance of Milwaukee, where we just let the corporate class run amok, there are some people on that Center District Board who stood up for workers and their unions, and credit is definitely due to the Secretary of Administration from the Evers administration, Joel Brennan, really distinguished himself. Gordon Hintz, state representative from the Oshkosh area, really distinguished himself. Alderman Bob Bauman in Milwaukee stood up, fought the good fight for workers and their union. And there are people who are in public office who value what unions do and value the contribution that workers make with their labor and believe they should be treated with dignity and respect. And so, you know, the fight isn't over yet. These folks who've opted to push for a non-union security contractor, I think, feel like they've escaped just because they won a vote at the board of directors for the Center District. But I think, you know, there's more opportunities here to fight for workers and their unions to win. And there's going to be a lot more of these kinds of things that come up before the Democratic Convention comes to town next summer.
All right. So yesterday, the CEO, and of course, we're recording this on Thursday morning. Yesterday, the CEO for the DNC for the convention said that one of his major concerns was going to be security for this event. When you talk about hiring a non-union security firm to secure the venues that are clearly going to be part of this convention, there's no doubt that the UWM Panther Arena and the Miller High Life Theater and then the convention center are all going to be part of this huge event that's going on. It'll all be in the security zone, that's for sure. Wouldn't they want the very best security officers possible?
Yeah, I mean, I think your question is like it's almost a rhetorical or self-evident answer. Yeah, of course you want the best. And you want folks who are committed to doing a good job because they're a career security officer. Look, when someone has a job where they know that whether it's protecting things at the Democratic National Convention or the International Toy and Widget Makers Council coming to a convention in Milwaukee, or someone who happens to guard one of the Class A office buildings in downtown Milwaukee. By the way, almost all office buildings in Milwaukee are protected by union security guards. When you have someone who's in that sort of work as a career, with living wages and fair treatment on the job, maybe a chance at health benefits or a pension through a union contract, yeah, of course they're going to do a much better job because they're just going to be committed to it. Aside from the fact that, you know, career security officers have the wisdom of experience. I think anybody who works for a living knows that you can't just stick some schmuck on a job and say, here, do it, and expect that they're going to do it as well as someone who's done it for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. And that's the case across all kinds of service sector jobs. So I think there's this notion that service sector jobs are unskilled jobs. Well, let's just throw that notion out right from jump. But whether it's a security guard or a cook or a janitor, people do the work better when they're committed to that and they understand that that's a job that they can work their entire life. And I think that, you know, Joe Solomonis deserves credit, the CEO of the Democratic National Convention, for saying, look, when this when the Democratic National Convention does come to town, they will have union security guards. And that's an important first step. I think it shows that the folks who are involved in this enterprise are feeling some real pressure to do right by labor, to do right by workers. But we need to make sure that the convention center is a union property, just like the arena across the street, which is wall-to-wall union. And that's 365 days a year, not just for a few days in July.
Well, I was going to say, as someone who attends Milwaukee Admiral games, I care about this. I don't cross picket lines.
Yeah, and I suspect there's a not insignificant number of people who go to the old Mecca who've got some of those old Milwaukee's Union Town kind of values. I think that, you know, our city is at a turning point here. And Milwaukee, just like a lot of places around the so-called Rust Belt, if you want to use a term like that.
I hate that term.
I know you do.
We're not rusty.
You don't love it. just the ironwork on my house. These towns that had for so long vibrant industrial economies that really were hit hard by globalization and automation and the decline of manufacturing employment, not the decline of manufacturing, the decline of manufacturing employment in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, you know, we've had these explosions of low-wage service sector jobs. Milwaukee is a great example of this. We're now a center of low-wage service sector work in a town that once employed literally tens of thousands of working class people, particularly people of color, in living wage union jobs. We've gone from one of the best places in the country, if you're a person of color, to raise a family, to one of the worst. And it has tracked entirely with the decline of living wage union jobs in manufacturing.
The Wall Street Journal in the early 70s called Milwaukee the star of the Snow Belt. And
we can look back on that and say, what were the elements of that? And why can't we do that again in the 21st century with the service sector jobs that exist? You can't tell me, Sly, that a CNA or a housekeeper in a hospital, a hotel front desk clerk or a cook in a food service enterprise can't have a living wage union job. Just like you couldn't tell me back in 1937 that an automaker or a paper maker or a steel maker on the line in a factory in Neenah or Milwaukee or anywhere, you know, couldn't have a living wage union job. People said those jobs couldn't be decent family-supporting
jobs. You know, it's funny because a couple years ago when Bernie Sanders came to Madison for a meeting with a number of activists, you were there at the Concourse Hotel in Madison, which is a union hotel. He took the time to speak with some of the union workers in that hotel, introduce them to this group of people. And, you know, he can be kind of a rough dude. He doesn't really mess around with a lot of sappiness, but you could just tell the women that told their stories in organizing melted his heart. You can just tell how touched he was by their efforts.
It speaks, I think, a lot to the character of one Bernie Sanders, gruff. I think you could call him gruff, right?
Right.
No nonsense. No BS. Since we, you know, maybe should stay away from those kinds of adult words. He's a no BS gruff kind of guy, but he's no BS and a very gruff sort of fella in his advocacy and fight for working class people. So it's always struck me as really consistent. Not as sort of this unique thing about his personality, but struck me as very consistent when he hears from real live working people who, punch in and punch out 40 hours a week, sometimes more, making a living, and what it means for them to have the living wages and dignity and respect guaranteed by a union contract. Yeah, I think those go hand in hand. I don't know if we're making news here at all, but it's one reason I particularly support Bernie again in 2020 because, you know, he's the sort of guy who's going to come to Milwaukee to accept the nomination and point out the service workers in the crowd. He's going to be the sort of guy who, when he goes to give his acceptance speech, the Fiserv Forum, you know, mingles backstage with the union represented cooks and janitors and security officers and customer service people before he goes to do it. And he's going to reference them. This is the sort of candidate that we need, someone that's going to take the model from the Arena District in Milwaukee and say, well, why can't we do this everywhere? And what's good for the Bucks ought to be good for the convention center. What's good for the Bucks in downtown Milwaukee ought to be good for the hospitals and hotels of Milwaukee. And what's good for the Fiserv Forum, the Bucks Arena in downtown Milwaukee, is good for all the service sector employers across the country. And he's the sort of person who's going to take this model and make it into the policies that we need to lift up working class people around the country and make our service sector the bastion of a new middle class for the 21st century America. That's how we'll actually make America great again.
We'll take a break. Peter Rickman with us at slysoffice.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson, we love guitars.
We're back at slysoffice.com, brought to you by Madison Computer Works and Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. Joining us again, Peter Rickman, the Milwaukee Area Service and Hospitality Workers. So you say the fight is not over as far as what happens with representation for the security workers at the convention center and then Arena and Miller High Life Theater. Can you give me any point of differential in how the security officers are treated that have union representation versus the ones that don't?
Yeah, well, let me try to put this together piece by piece. You know, the most obvious thing oftentimes is just the wage rate. You know, non-union security officers, you know, will make between $9 and $12 an hour maybe. Union security officers, if not already at a $15 an hour wage floor, certainly on a path to it, and it's guaranteed. It's not up to the boss's whim what to pay you, when to give you a raise. It's laid out in a written contract that they're accountable to. So wages definitely are a big point of differentiation. But, you know, if you are working a job and you're making 15, 17, whatever, dollars per hour, you know, it doesn't mean a whole lot if the boss can fire you because they don't like the way you look at them one day. And without a union contract that guarantees what's called just cause protection, where the boss needs a just cause to discipline or terminate you, and it doesn't matter if, in theory, you could have been making 15 or 17 bucks an hour, but you were sent home for the day or lost your job because you don't have those kinds of guarantees of due process in a union contract. So I think that's another big one. You know, for frontline security guards or other people in the service industry, the guarantees about how you are treated by your supervisors matter a lot because it's the difference between losing your humanity when you punch in to go to work and punch out and not. Like, I think every person who works for a living is worthy of dignity and respect, whether it's by supervisors or customers or whatever. Unfortunately, without those kinds of things guaranteed in very specific language in a union contract, you know, bosses aren't accountable to that. They treat people any kind of way they want to, and they get away with it. And because we have to go to work for a living to make a paycheck, to pay the rent or the mortgage, to put food on the table, keep up with the bills, you know, we have to put up with that kind of stuff every day. But a union contract is a little bit of freedom, a little bit of a guarantee for dignity and respect. And compared to what it's like without a union contract, it's a whole different world. So I think for those frontline security workers, the dignity and respect of a union contract, the fairness that comes with union representation in the union contract matter almost as much as the economic difference of far superior wages, real living wages. And there's, you know, countless things. I mean, people like us who are trade unionists know that it's not just one or two or three things. It's a whole different world when you have union representation and a contract that guarantees everything for you. And it's something you can point to, and it's something that structures the way the boss treats you, whether it's your frontline supervisor or corporate in, you know, seven states away in their headquarters. So I think that when we're talking about ensuring that security workers at the convention center or any service sector workers in downtown Milwaukee, by no means are the security workers at the convention center the only ones where this is going to come into play before the DNC comes to town. When we're talking about service sector workers, you know, we need to make a special effort to raise these standards up for folks and help people win union representation, because these are the kinds of jobs that are not only the ones available today, but they're going to be there tomorrow too. They're the ones how we can transform this economy and transform the lives of ordinary working people. I can think of no greater cause to dedicate ourselves to, and with this opportunity, the DNC coming to town, to create some focus and create some urgency, create some leverage even. We got to take advantage of that and run with it so we can win for working people.
Have you gotten any pushback on threatening picket lines at this convention?
Well, I don't think we've threatened anything. You know, a threat is something that is put out there to, you know, just say like, well, if you don't do this, we're going to do this, and you try to extract concession. What we're saying is that this is a possibility. I mean, these are the kinds of things that good business leaders, good civic leaders, factor in and say, is it worth the risk of disruption and chaos? Is it worth the risk of reputational damage for the convention center to, you know, potentially have strikes, pickets, boycotts going on while the Democratic National Convention comes to town, so that we can continue this ideological jihad against unions to, you know, have a non-union, low-wage, low-standards contractor come into town? You know, we haven't threatened anyone. What we said is these are things that are, you know, not unlikely to happen.
Have you gotten any pushback for raising the point?
Almost sheepish at that. It's almost been a sheepish response from the boss class here of like, oh yeah, I guess they caught us trying to screw over some workers here, or, you know, and you know they've shown how heartless and jerky we can be about it. And, you know, they lament the fact that, oh, there was a divided vote on the Wisconsin Center District, as if this should be like any other corporate board of directors where people just, you know, shirk their duties and let the CEO do whatever the heck they want. I mean, that's how we got into a crisis in the economy in this country, just letting CEOs do what they want without boards of directors exercising any responsibility. You know, they're more concerned about a contested vote. It was the first contested vote in the history of the Wisconsin Center District Board, by the way, that anyone could come up with, according to members of the board. They're more concerned about that than what they are the fact that workers are not going to be treated with dignity and respect, that workers aren't guaranteed to make living wages and have fairness.
Do you think they view this as, yeah, that's nice that happened at the Fiserv Forum. They had to do that to get the building built, but let's not let that spread. Do you think they're trying to contain what you and others have accomplished at the Fiserv Forum?
I think that's a pretty interesting point, Sly, and I think you might be onto something there. I think the boss class in town knows that workers are seeing what's happened at the Fiserv Forum and saying, well, why not us? You know, if a cook and a janitor and a security guard and a customer service worker at the arena can make a living wage and have the guarantees of a union contract and a real voice on the job, a chance to make their life better over time, why can't I do that? So, yeah, I think there's a sense that they have to, you know, put their foot down from, you know, I'm talking about the boss class here, put their foot down to prevent this from spreading further, as you're saying. I don't know if they're quite that self-conscious on the Wisconsin Center District Board. I don't know if they're quite that smart. Maybe they are. I don't know. I'm not one of them. You can't ask me to put myself in the shoes of a member of the boss class, because I just don't get it.
Well, so give us an update where you think what you've been able to accomplish and others, and then the workers have done together at the Fiserv Forum, and how it's affecting other things that are going on, whether it be at the airport or with Northwestern Mutual Life. What's going on?
Well, let me say this. You know, it's interesting because over the course of the last, you know, week or so, as all this is going on, I've spoken with the chief negotiators from the employers at the Bucks Arena. And 201, they've commented, oh, glad we're not wrapped up in any of that kind of baloney, you know, this sort of rigmarole with the center district and their contentions. And they're saying it not just, you know, because, you know, we've got a good positive relationship and working on the labor relations issues and contract bargaining, but because they're genuinely pleased that they don't have to deal with that because they've chosen to exercise a strong relationship. And I think that goes hand in hand here. Like, oftentimes people say, oh, the union or the worker, they're so aggressive or militant or, you know, they just demand more and more. Well, the truth is bosses have the chance to do the right thing. And at the arena, the bosses have chosen to do the right thing. And we're going to the bargaining table here in a couple of weeks to negotiate three different contracts for, like I said, about 1,200 workers here. And we're doing it in a way that isn't about, you know, strikes and picket lines and boycotts compelling a decent contract out of the bosses. You know, we're doing it with a sense that, you know, this contract can be negotiated and it's going to work for workers. It's going to materially change the lives of workers. And it's going to be something that the bosses can understand how they need to work with it as well, too. That's been understood for a while, and we're moving forward positively because the bosses have chosen to do so, knowing that that's what workers need, that's what workers deserve, and that's what their workers want. When we look at some of the other employers in town here, if, for example, workers at the airport doing basically the same jobs as the food service in the arena, the boss has been confronted with the fact that more than two-thirds, actually, of their workers want unions, have signed authorization cards saying, recognize a union, bargain a contract. The boss has refused to do so. And, you know, we've gotten some pushback from folks who are saying, oh, why are you messing around with things at the airport? You know, we got the DNC coming to town. We can't have the airport in chaos. And we say, don't blame us. Take it to the boss. Tell SSP America from Virginia that the food service workers who help make the airport work ought to have living wages and union rights just like at the arena. That's what the workers want. And so we've been organizing there for a while, and I think that one's going to heat up a little because the boss refuses to do the right thing there. Workers want the union. They want a contract. They want what the arena workers have. And so we're going to stick with them and keep fighting until we get it. And, you know, DNC coming to town through the Milwaukee airport, be damned. You know, the folks who want things to work smoothly here in town as the Democratic National Convention comes to Milwaukee need to take some responsibility to ensure that workers can get ahead. And I think that, you know, this is going to become more typical here as we get towards July of 2020 because there's going to be more of a spotlight put on what's happening at the arena. That's why the DNC is coming here. And so more and more people are going to hear about, hey, those service workers are making a living wage. Those service workers have union rights. Those service workers are treated with dignity and respect, and they have some fairness on the job. I think I want that too. And MASH is going to be the union that goes out and says to folks, what's good for the Bucks ought to be true for your employer, too. And we're here to help you organize, fight, and win. That's what we need to lift up the working class, and that's what our organization here is dedicated to.
Well, just put this in some perspective. There would be no Fiserv Forum had the Bucks not agreed to not fight unions and not be hostile to unions. The Fiserv Forum wouldn't have happened because the Republicans didn't have enough votes to pass that deal. And the Democrats that did come along wouldn't have voted for it unless those provisions had been in there.
Yeah, you know, it's sort of an untold story about what came together here. There were a number of...
Really? The corporate media in this state wouldn't tell that story?
Well, they wouldn't tell that story, and I don't know if a lot of people wanted that story to be told on the front end because, you know, just... We were dealing with Republican governance in Wisconsin, Sly. No surprise to any of your listeners here. And they sure as hell weren't going to allow something good to happen for workers without trying to stop it. And, you know, we had a risk run that, you know, if word got out that the service workers were going to have living wages and union rights, I don't know if Robin Voss and Scott Fitzgerald, much less Scott Walker, would, you know, have allowed things to move forward the way that they did. So, the story hasn't really been told. But the truth is... A number of elected officials played a really crucial role saying, look, if you want millions of taxpayer dollars for this investment, not only in the arena, but also the surrounding development, well, hey, we got to make sure that, you know, the food service workers in the arena, the janitors, the security officers, customer service workers, folks in a hotel or janitors in office buildings around there need to have 15 in a union. And they need to have access to good jobs for folks who need it the most in Milwaukee. And, you know, they said if that can get taken care of, that's one of the key measures necessary for this to move forward. I got to point out, by the way, State Representative Joe Castro-Zamarripa was a real champion, a real warrior, a real fighter to make this happen. And, you know, she'll never get credit because, as you said, the corporate media is never going to talk about it. And it's not something that, she goes and crows about herself. But, you know, she was a really crucial player in this. And I'd also credit then-Representative, now Secretary-Designate, Peter Barca for really pushing that. State Senator Jen Chilley also did yo person's work during this to ensure that there was a good deal for good jobs for the working people in the Arena District, and a way to build on a model for the future so that we can spread across the service sector.
Peter Rickman from MASH, thank you for coming to SliceOffice.com.
Thanks for having me on, Sly. Always a pleasure, brother. Be well.
SliceOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.